We begin with the death of a legend. He was described as an agent of change and was a giant of his age. The 21st Prime Minister of Australia, Labor's Gough Whitlam, has died. He was 98. His family says he was a loving and generous father. They say he was a source of inspiration to them, for their families, and for millions of Australians. He will be remembered for his reforming agenda, including recognising China and introducing national health care, and for some of the most turbulent years in politics, including the dramatic end of his government with his sacking by the Governor-General, John Kerr. Paula Kruger looks back at the life and legacy of Gough Whitlam.
Gough Whitlam may have been the longest-living former Prime Minister, but he certainly wasn't the longest-serving. He was voted in December 1972, ending 23 years of government under the Liberal Country Party. But despite his socially progressive policies, he is best remembered for his dismissal on November the 11th, 1975.
By His Excellency's command, Malcolm Fraser, Prime Minister, John R. Kerr, Governor-General. God save the Queen.
Ladies and gentlemen, well may we say, God save the Queen. Because nothing will save the Governor General.
It is one of the shortest but most famous speeches in Australian political history, the line that turned a legislator into a legend. Many in the Labor Party maintained the rage against Sir John Kerr for years to come. Reflecting on the dismissal 30 years later, Gough Whitlam told AM that he never spoke to Sir John after that day and was never tempted to.
No, I restrained myself. No figure that I respect ever spoke to Kerr again, and they never did for the rest of his life. So there's no question that Kerr, in everything he did that day, was contemptible.
But in his later years, he felt very differently about the man that replaced him as Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser. As the two became elder statesmen, their shared views spread across many fields.
These days, I can't readily think of any foreign policy or any human rights issue on which I don't agree with Malcolm Fraser.
Gough Whitlam joined the Labor Party in August 1945 after 3 years of service with the RAAF. He had a law degree from the University of Sydney and was admitted to the New South Wales and federal courts as a barrister. He was considered a bit of a silvertail compared to the traditional Labor candidates with a trades union background. He also became a radio celebrity.
Mr. Whitlam, who composed the opera The Daughter of the Regiment?
Donizetti.
Donizetti is right.
This was his first appearance on the Australian National Quiz in 1948. He was a winner on the show for 3 years running. It was in 1952 that he would officially begin his career in federal politics, winning a by-election for the New South Wales seat of Werriwa. The new Member of Parliament celebrated by buying the family's first car and a new hat. But initially, Whitlam's political life was spent in the cold shadow of the opposition benches. He believed the party needed change, and that was no more evident than in the early 60s, when Gough Whitlam was deputy to ALP leader Arthur Calwell. The two were photographed late at night waiting outside a hotel in Canberra for the party's policy on US communications bases in northwest WA. Inside the building, making the policy decision, were 36 members of the party's executive. The media and the Prime Minister, Robert Menzies, haunted Labor with allegations that they were dominated by 36 faceless men during that year's federal election campaign. In 1967, Arthur Calwell resigned. Gough Whitlam became party leader and could finally implement his long-planned changes to the party's machinery. In the 1972 federal election, a new campaign slogan sang out.
Time for freedom.
In December that year, Gough Whitlam was sworn in as the first Labor Prime Minister since 1949. It was an unconventional government at first, with a ministry of just two. Whitlam and his Deputy Prime Minister, Lance Bernard, were sworn into all portfolios holding 13 ministries each. 2 weeks later, after a caucus meeting, 27 ministers were appointed and sworn in, including a minister for the new Department of Aboriginal Affairs. It became a time of great change.
I am proud of a government that in the space of a year has abolished conscription, done away with the death penalty, revitalised government support for the arts, given votes to 18-year-old citizens, and moved vigorously to protect the environment.
The loans affair was the trigger the Malcolm Fraser-led opposition used to block supply and force the constitutional crisis that ended the Whitlam government in 1975.
The Governor-General of Australia do, by this my proclamation, dissolve the Senate and the House of Representatives.
More than 30 years later, in July 2008, on his 92nd birthday, Gough Whitlam reflected on another time of great change.
It is, of course, a revolution in itself that Australia should now have a Mandarin-speaking Prime Minister. In the United States, they're looking forward to having an English-speaking Prime Minister.
But dismissals and political revolutions aside, one of the things he will be best remembered for is the legendary Whitlam wit. Self-mocking, but never self-deprecating.
I've never said I'm immortal. I do believe in correct language. I'm eternal. I'm not immortal.
And he certainly will be remembered. Gough Whitlam's family says there will be a private cremation and a public memorial service.